Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
I'm Jennifer Kopasz-Rose.
And this is the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework cloth stabbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been doing lots of cloth stabbing.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about that. Yep.
So yeah, the no stitch kind too.
Yeah, this is the no stitch hour week. So the podcast, right. But no stitch hour tonight. Next Wednesday, we'll be back with a stitch hour. And at this juncture, Stitch and Check don't have any guests lined up. Never know, though.
Right.
Yeah, you just never know. Sunday, really looking forward to this one. Sunday's guest is Wendy Lynn. She's the Director of Membership and Marketing at EGA.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were setting this up, the goal is we want to talk about how EGA is not just embroidery. You know, Embroiderers Guild of America, it's not just embroidery.
Right.
But then while we were setting this up, Wendy said that she has just completed, 28 days of travel, 20 days of time spent at EGA meetings, chapter meetings, guild, and events. So it'll give us talking with her will give us a real look into what all EGA has to offer across the country. So, yeah, that'll be fun.
Wow. 28 days in a row, or was it like total kind of broken up?
She said 28 days of travel. I think it was pretty solid. Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah. That's a commitment. Yeah.
No kidding.
But yeah, so it'll be interesting to learn what all is going on. And, you know, it really gives a picture of the EGA and how big it is and what it has to offer. Because I think a lot of people don't appreciate that it's not just service embroiderers. It's a whole bunch of people. So
right.
Yeah. Actually, if you use a needle and thread, you can probably find some aspect of EGA that fits you. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that'll be Sunday's show, Wendy Lynn. That'll be good.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yep. And, we still have the two offers in play here. Now, the EGA virtual lecture, and this is a coupon good through May 1, so it's FiberTalk 5, and that gives you $5 off of what now, since it's good through May 1, a recorded virtual lecture. Because the next virtual lecture, I don't know when that is, but we just had the one Sunday with Sally Maver. And so use FiberTalk 5. You have to be a member of EGA, but as we said last Wednesday, why aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
But FiberTalk 5, so that'll give you a free listen to the lecture with Sally Maver from this past Sunday.
And so is it only audio, or is it more like a YouTube taped thing?
It's a video. Yeah, it's video. So we get to see.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's a video whole bit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they do it through Zoom, so it's all recorded. And they said that it would be available today, Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
So you have to be an EGA member, but yeah, come on, sign up. And it's interesting when I went in. What I was? Oh, I was signing up for Sally Maver, and I had not logged in as a member.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And so as I'm signing up, it comes up that they already have it preset up, so you can do the virtual lecture and join as a member at large all at the same time.
Oh, yeah. We see you're not a member. Here, right. Join. We'll just get you all situated.
Yep. Well played by EGA. Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. So FiberTalk 5 will give you that free, and that's the one you want because that is really superb. She did a great job, and Sally is... If you don't follow Sally Maver, you're really missing out. She's an amazing talent. So, take advantage of that.
Nice.
And then FiberTalk 10, the number 10, all the way through the end of April, gets you 10% off Queenstown sampler design charts and kits at Sassy Jack Stitchery.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you and you want her new ones, Barbara Hudson's new charts, she's got some really good ones there. So go to sassyjackstitchery.com and FiberTalk 10 will get you 10% off. So if you buy a chart, it's 10% off the chart. If you want a kit, then you buy the chart through the ordering form there, and then in the notes you put that I want a kit, and then Kim will contact you and set up the ground cloth and threads and get it all set up for you. So you just have to put a note in there, and then 10% off of a kit, you know, that's kind of nice. So
wow, nice. So it includes the kit if right. you want to do that. Nice.
Yep. So that's through the end of April. So take advantage of that at sassyjackstitchery.com because 10% off a full kit. Yeah, I'd take that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's only, what, a couple more weeks?
Yep. End of the month. Yes. Yeah. So a couple months, weeks to take advantage. Yep. So there's two discounts.
Flying.
Yep. Yep. Two discounts.
Nice. Very good.
And then also at Sassy Jack's and other stores, the new book by Dawn Cook Ronigan, Sewing Rolls, Needle yeah. Rolls, and Huswifts.
That looked yes. really cool.
It is.
I have her first one. I need to get the second one.
Yeah, get that. Now, she was yeah. our guest 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Okay, so, and I bring this up, one, because I think people should get the book, but I wanted to ask you, because you sew.
Mm-hmm.
So have you ever, you probably have never made one of these things, but I would be
no.
curious to see if, you know, like if you got the book, I would be curious to see what you'd put together. Cause,
yeah, if I would make something, I've thought about it in the past, like, you know, I always think about, oh, I should make this or that. And then I sit down and work on whatever I already have going, you know? And part of the problem is because my craft room is too small and too crowded and I'd have to clear off. I'm still doing okay with the keeping it tidy, but lately, no, it's just a mess again. I did really well for a while, and now it's just exploded because I'm like, oh, I'll do this and that and that. And if I put it away, I forget to work on it. So I've got the tamari ball sitting half finished out. I've got spinning sitting out. I've got knitting. I've got a handpiece quilt. It's everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know what you mean, though. If you got to spend a half hour cleaning up so you can actually do something, it saps the enthusiasm right out of it, yeah.
Yeah. You're like, oh, well.
Just use what's on the table, yeah.
Yeah. But I was interested. I liked the channel, the thread channels.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it was called?
Yeah, it's
where you put the, it's got these different channels sewn in. And you take a hook, like a crochet hook or something, and you pull your thread through so it's all protected inside and it's not touching and rubbing. And
right.
Right? Isn't that what it
yeah,
is?
Yeah, that's how it goes. So you can sew yeah. different threads in these little channels, yeah.
And then you roll it up and take it with. Now that, I think, is a better idea than these drops, the floss drops, with it all getting a tangled mess, because you know how I feel about the tangled, messy floss, and then the rubbing your hands through it and snagging. Oh, no. But those thread guide channel things, whatever they're called, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I'm yeah. like, cool.
Well, I think those were the sewing rolls of the three. Sewing rolls, needle rolls, and
some
hustlers.
Sort of, yeah, because it had, what was she calling them? Thread guides or thread channels or
yeah.
something.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember now. I was like, I need the book to get in there and read and see
yeah.
what's on it. What is it?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think there's some fun to be had there making these things just
mm-hmm.
for nothing else than just the fun of doing it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. yeah. So that one isn't, that would be useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and then she was on with those balls, right? The pin cushion balls.
Right. Well, the first time we talked
and
to her about her antique needlework book, yes.
Because then I was like, oh, they look like tamari balls, kind of. Some of them did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she was on a live show, right?
Right. Yeah. She was
I trying
did a
to
live
remember
show.
Stuff.
No,
my
she did.
Lately.
She did a podcast with her first book and then a live show. Yeah. So we got
right,
to see
right.
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are interesting because it's like, sometimes, you know, I have like little votive candle things from, I have this one that's an elephant and it's really pretty and it used to have a candle in it, like a votive size, but now the candle's gone, but I still have the little ceramic elephant decorated thing and I want to make it into a pincushion and it's been sitting here behind my sewing machine for probably 6 or 7 years now, wanting to be made into a pincushion. And it would be cool to make just one of those little round balls and then just shove it in.
Right, right.
You know, you don't have to do any gluing or any of that. Just...
Right.
So.
Well, there you go. See?
Those pinballs. Shove it in there.
Get after it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, because it's sitting over there. I'm like, oh, look how pretty. Someday.
Yeah. Yep. Well, there you go. So, yeah, so get her book. Yeah, you should get her book. It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it, for sure. It looks like, and she, now she has a couple of patterns out. She talked about it in the show that she was going to have patterns for these things. So now there are a couple so that you can actually buy and have full instructions. But
right.
I have a feeling with most of those that once you make one, you really don't need a pattern anymore.
Right. So, like, remember a couple of years ago when I went to that Celebrations of Needlework in New Hampshire?
Yeah.
And Susan Greening Davis had a housewife that she, the housewives were already sewn together in French General fabric. And then we have some stitching and stuff to do that you can then put on it and decorate it up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sitting in the cupboard. I haven't touched it since then, but I've got one. you know?
Yeah.
My multitude of other projects are in the cupboard. But yeah, I'll have to get out and look at it again.
I think so. I think so. I think we've just uncovered two new projects for you.
Oh, boy.
Just, you know, in case you were bored. Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Yep. Well, there you go. I'm going to try. I'll probably buy her pattern, one of her patterns, because I'm going to try. I'm putting my sewing machine is going back together now. The one, the 1948 sewing machine is going back together. I got all the.
You have three.
Huh?
Can't believe you have three.
I know. Stupid.
Unreal. Stupid. I'm like, what?
It was really stupid. This first one I'm keeping, and I'm keeping one of the others, but I'm going to sell the third one when I get it all done.
Okay.
I'm not going to collect it, you know, because it's...
Oh, boy.
I've seen pictures.
Like, oh, boy. Here he goes.
Yeah. I've seen pictures of people with basements just full of them lined up on tables, and no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they suck up a lot of space, so... But one person made shelves in their craft room, and have them sitting sitting on shelves and on walls all over the place, which was kind of a cool look. But yeah,
oh my,
that's dust. That's to me that stuff that has to be dusted all the time.
Yeah, you got to hire your cleaning crew to come and clean it for you.
Yeah, my cleaning crew is the person I see when I look in a mirror. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I'm getting that back together, but I'm going to try when I get that together, I'm going to try and make one just to see.
Oh, on your machine. That was, a little project of something to make.
Yeah. Old thing on an old machine. Why not?
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, and that, yes, if you have old sewing machines or an old sewing machine, send me photos. And if you have a story behind it, I'd love to hear the story. I've received, I think I have a half dozen, maybe seven different sets of photos from people already, because I'm going to do a video. I want people to see these things. And
I was going to just say, you should do a video dedicated.
Yep, I am. I'm getting them lined up. I'm going to do a video. And I just got one the other day from a lady who in Germany. Who and she had a heck of a story to tell with it and how it got passed around and who she met through it and so on and so forth. And it's a treadle machine.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So send me photos, Gary@wetalkfiber.com. And if there's a story behind it, I'd love to hear it. And yep, I'm lining things up, going to do a video. Yeah. I think it's just cool. You know, you start asking around and the number of people that have these old machines that they still use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I mean, they're old war horses. They never wear out, and if you take care of them, and
right,
yeah. So yeah, send photos. A couple more, I think, and then we'll do the video. I just want to have a good number of them.
Right.
So yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So that's going on. Tamari, we have not seen a photo of Tamari Ball progress. Have we?
No, because they've There's none that are finished yet. Okay. I have a couple that are like half finished, and we're getting ready to have class on Saturday, so I'll have another one on the go.
We're starting another one?
Yep.
Well, she keeps you guys humping along, doesn't she?
Yes, and I get going, and I'm going, and I did okay. And then I had to get some new thread, so that I got it, and I did some stitching. But then sometimes it's not as easy to stitch on if I'm not feeling the best. And it's
right,
that time
right.
of year for me. So
yeah.
So, yeah, it's been mostly easy stuff stitching lately. And even some, I've been doing a lot of spinning and some big stitch quilting on a quilt.
Yeah.
So easier stuff that doesn't require me to use my eyes so closely.
Yeah.
Because they just don't want to right now.
When you're spinning, is that just kind of a go off into la-la land when you're spinning? Can you just
kinda.
Let your mind just...
Yeah, I usually listen to a book or something or watch something because sometimes I don't want my mind to just go off.
Okay, so you can just let it go blank, though.
And, yeah.
And spin away.
Yeah. And I figured out a new way. You know, I'm spinning those silk hankies, and normally you put your finger in the middle and pull it out into a big round ring, and then you have to, like, separate it, and you get it to the thinness you want, and then you spin it, and it makes a big mess that way. It's got silk everywhere. It's crazy. I was looking online trying to find another way, and I don't remember who I came across, but somebody, one person, had a post where they're like, take from the middle. Grab the middle of the hanky, pull up, pull the rest of it down, and start pulling from the middle there and spinning it, and you gradually draft out. Oh my gosh, game changer. Total game changer. I think there's no video. I'm thinking of making when I feel better. I'll make a video and be like, look, here's another way to do it. That is it. The silk comes out looking nicer. All the slubs tend to get down towards the end. So as you're pulling, you're not pulling any of that slubby yucky that you don't want in there. Mm-hmm. It tends to stay at the end. So then when you get down to the end, you just pick them out and you throw just a little bit away, you know?
Hmm.
And then too, you can set it down and get up and go do something else. Like if you need to get up and change your laundry, or, you know, you hear your dog needs to go out or something.
Yeah.
Whereas before, you were kind of trapped underneath all this silk, and getting up and moving, it just flowed away everywhere. It was just crazy. So I figured out a new way, so I've done a lot of that.
Yeah.
I've gotten a lot done on it because it's just sitting there not getting done, but I want to do it. But it wasn't happening, you know?
Isn't that interesting? That happens all the time where you're kind of hitting a rough spot or like a little roadblock in a project. And then something comes along and shows you the pathway out. And then you just take off. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, oh my gosh. And now you suddenly, it's not that I didn't ever want to work on it. It was just such a big hassle. And it would take me, you know, like, oh, I have to stretch it all out before I even get to spinning. It's going to take me 45 minutes just to get it ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it would put a whole damper on the whole thing.
Yep. And then once you get that little trick or whatever it is, then it's, you know, everybody get out of my way. I got stuff to do.
Yeah. And you just get going on it.
Yep.
You can sit down, pull it out, and just start.
Yep.
Just like my other spinning. It's like, oh, finally, a great way of spinning the silk hankies that is so much better.
Yeah. All right. I got to ask the dumb guy question. So you talked about silk hankies one other time, and I saw pictures, but what are they for?
Remember when you talked to the worm spit guy?
Yeah.
And he talked about how the cocoons, and they pull out all the good silk from the inside of the cocoons.
Right.
The silk hankies are made from the outer part of the cocoons when all the nice silk's been taken out of the middle. And they stretch the outer part of the cocoons over like a square frame and dry them out, and that you can dye them and stuff that way. And they'll have a bunch of them stacked up, like tons stacked up because they're really thin. And then it's the waste silk, basically.
Oh.
But they sell it to crafters because the crafters want to use it.
Hmm. And so then you can spin that into thread?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said, most of the time, most of what I see on Instagram and people when they do it, they draft it out and they don't draft it very thin. So it's thicker and it's mm-hmm. lumpy and slubby, and but it's silk. And usually they're using it in yarn, but they're making a thicker yarn.
Okay.
And I wanted to spin it really thin to make a really thin lace weight yarn.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm spinning it like thread thin, like 103 thin.
Oh, my.
Like, yeah.
Wow.
Really thin.
Okay. And so I see the advantage now. So you have this, what is waist silk, mm-hmm. and you want really thin, smooth thread out of it.
Right.
So this trick then has allowed you to do that with this,
yeah,
in relative terms, is cheaper junk silk.
Right. And it's so much, and you know, you have to want to put in the work.
Right. Sure. So,
and this is going into, it's going with the some merino that I've spun that thin as well. Uh-huh. So it's like a one ply of silk, one ply of merino wool, lace weight yarn is what I'm wanting to make. So, yeah.
That's kind of cool. So now, all right, now I really see why you got enthusiastic, because
yeah,
you're getting quality out of what is throwaway silk. So
right, yeah. And it's coming out so much nicer. And the drafting is easier. It drafts and pulls out so much easier because it's in the long, long filaments. Like they talk about the filament silk with Japanese. It's like that, really long filaments.
Oh.
But the Japanese, I'm sure they prepare it some way where the filaments are cut to a length or something and you pull them out and they're using the good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I'm using the outside wasty stuff.
But that's not waste stuff, but that's not, is it a coarser silk or is it just because it's more exposed to the environment that it's kind of junky?
Yeah. And it's got, like I said, it's got, you know how it pills, you know how when you rub on a sweater, you got the pilling. Those are like the slubs that I'm talking about. It's pilled in some places and it's not as nice and organized. It's just messy out there.
Okay.
The outside's been rubbing against stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so, I get it. Cool. All
yeah. Right. So that made me really happy.
Yeah. I learned things this way. Yep. So then you're going to get this really thin thread, but what are you going to do with it?
I'll ply it with that merino I've spun, and then I'll make it into a really thin like a lace weight yarn that you can knit shawls and stuff out of.
Oh, I see. Okay. So it's the blend. You're creating a blend.
Right.
Then, that you can knit. Oh, I get it. Okay.
Right.
Now, is that weird? Like if you do it with merino, silk and merino, are there some wools that you can't really ply it together because it just doesn't stay?
No, when you twist it together, it stays twisted, you know?
Okay.
And a lot of times the silk will help strengthen the wool.
Oh.
So a lot of times people will actually blend. They'll take, you know how I have that comb thingy?
Yeah.
And stuff. They will blend with a carder or a comb or something, blend the silk and the wool together so all the fibers are mixed together.
Oh, I see.
And then they spin them together like that.
Oh.
Or you can do this one ply and one ply thing.
And so it strengthens it, so you end up with a better knitting yarn.
Right, because merino, I think, tends to be a little bit of a shorter staple. It's super soft.
Yeah.
It can be weak sometimes, depending on how you spin it and stuff. I don't know. I learned it from this Russian lady who lives in Colorado, Galina. Oh, what's her name here? I've got it. Let me look.
Well, because merino wool, I mean, my cycling stuff.
Mm-hmm. Galina Kemleva, Orenburg Shawls. And they use Kvyat, which is a kind of Kvyat goats, oxen. Kvyat, and from Russia.
Okay.
And they use that. So they use one.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. They use one strand of the Kvyat, and then the second strand they use is a silk. And they usually have it like off of a cone. Somehow they get silk, like a silk thread, but it's hard to find a silk thread like that on a cone. out here. I don't know where they get it from. And then they ply the two together. So you have one strand of Kvyat and one strand of the silk. So that's where I got the idea and using merino instead.
I'm going to have to go look at my cycling stuff because I use like merino wool socks. I wear just about year round except for when it's really hot.
Right.
And I have merino wool shirts that layers for against your body because that even when it gets wet, you don't get cold. It's really it's superb wool.
Yeah.
And I use it all the time. I mean, even when it's warm, I wear wool socks, merino wool socks to ride because they're
– My husband does too.
Yeah, it doesn't trap the moisture against you and you don't get cold and it's
excellent.
And it
gets rid of the foot stink.
Right. Yeah, that's the other part. It doesn't smell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As soon as I tell you what, I was like – once I started learning about wool when I started knitting and stuff a lot, and I'm like, oh, it absorbs 30% of its weight in water before it actually starts getting wet.
Yeah.
And it's antimicrobial naturally. And I'm like, oh, I started getting my husband wool or wool blend socks. Huge difference.
Yeah.
Huge.
I got to check and see now if there's something blended in with it. That's interesting.
A lot of times there is to make it stronger.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, because I've worn and knitted 100% wool socks. It didn't have any kind of a polyester or rayon or any kind of blend in it. And it, they fall apart.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Because I bought a nylon, merino.
Nylon's what they're usually blended with. Is nylon.
Okay, I got to look. I bought this year I bought a merino base layer shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And holy smokes, the first time I wore it, I really wish I didn't have it on. I mean, it's got to be cold before you put that on.
Oh, uh-huh.
Because, man, it was a frightening thing. I was so hot. I couldn't believe it. And it was one of those things where it was so cold out that you couldn't take it off because then you'd freeze. But, geez, mm-hmm. It was hot. It's really effective wool. Yeah.
It depends on what you layered on top of it, too. It might have been trapping all that heat in, and not letting it breathe.
I was plenty warm, I guarantee you. Yeah, I got to look now and see if they strengthen it and what they strengthen it with. So
it's usually nylon or something.
Yeah, probably. Yep. Still expensive, though. I mean, good.
Oh, yeah.
Good quality merino wool, anything is expensive.
Yeah, but it lasts for a long time usually.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have 3 pairs of merino wool socks that I wear. I just alternate them.
Mm-hmm.
I bet are they 10 years old? I think they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will not wear out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Yep.
Yep, they're great.
All right, I got to go look now. So something else to look for. But, yeah, that's okay. I mean, that's how you learn these things. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to get this other yarn spun on my spinning wheel, because I want to, remember I got that silk, that mulberry silk?
Yeah.
I think it's mulberry. That I want to see if I can spin into a thread to stitch with.
Mm.
It's still on my list.
Oh, there's a nice challenge.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So one of the things that's on the list to talk about is, do you clean or put things away in your room? I think we've already addressed that you don't.
I try. I really do. But some things, I'm like, if you leave the tamari ball out and you're sitting and looking at it, you'll pick it up and work on it, which I have, but, not as much as I should.
Yeah. I don't, I'm better at it.
I've gotten much better. Yeah, I'm much better than I was, but I slide every now and then I pick it up and I slide.
Cause it's a fine line between, leave it out so you can sit down and work on it right away,
mm-hmm.
and leave it out so it becomes in the way and a mess. Yeah.
Right. And at the bottom of a pile and you're like, oh yeah, that, oops, forgot,
Yep. Yeah, no, that's the line right there. So, but I have 2 projects out that I keep out and mm-hmm. I keep covered up, cause sometimes it'll be 3 or 4 days before I can stitch again. And so I keep them covered up. But I'll tell you one thing, the table that I put in this room that is supposed to be clean,
mm-hmm.
so that at any time I have a large clean surface to use.
Right.
I have to say I have been very good about that.
Nice.
I look over there right now, and all it's sitting on there is Don Ronigan's book.
Okay.
Because it hasn't been put in the bookshelf. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's been really, in my room, I think that's one of the smartest things. Because if you walk in the room and you see this empty table, mm-hmm. and you think, well, that's just waste. But it's not.
Oh, it's perfect.
It's perfect, yep. Because yes. it's on wheels, and I can raise it up and down. And
yep.
it's, yep. So anytime I need an empty space, I don't have to clear off anything. I can just wheel it over and put it to use, yeah.
Yep, you can pull out your quilting fabric and iron right. it and cut it. And
yep. Oh, yeah, see, that's the other thing. Big piece of linen to start a project, I have a big surface to lay it out on, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. I know. My big table, it's like a yard by a yard. It's basically one of those what do they call them? Those square tables. Card tables?
Card table, yeah.
But it's a nicer one. It's like a sturdier one I got from IKEA, and I got these legs that I put on it that you can raise them up and down.
Ah.
You turn the legs, you can adjust it.
Yep.
And yeah, but it's got my quilting ruler and stuff, but I just can't seem to keep it clear. And then, you know, you want to get out some quilting fabric to do a finish or whatever, and it's a big mess. You're like, oh, never mind.
Yep. Yeah. No, I know what you mean. No, I've been really disciplined about it. This table stays empty all the time.
Wow.
And
see, I need a second table because I need the stacking table.
Ah.
And then the empty table. Yeah. Or just a room that has, like, better shelving and stuff where I can put this stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it's not piled on the table, but it's nice and organized elsewhere.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
That's so we're house hunting, slowly house hunting, and one of the things that we are both looking for is the perfect studio space for me.
Yeah.
We both know that's very important.
For different reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Well, that's my next project in this room is I have a closet in this room that has been a pilot. It's just become a pilot in there. Hope it doesn't fall when you open the door kind of room.
Oh, no.
You know, that room mm-hmm. and or that space. And so my next project now is to put shelves in, because mm-hmm. I've got a bookshelf in there, a bookcase in there that's probably 3 foot, 3.5 foot tall. And then I have really open space all the way to the ceiling.
Right.
So that's the next thing is I'm going to put shelving in there that allows me to store stuff and freeze up more space in the main room. And
right.
Yeah.
Now, and then, I have shelves like that. And then I finally did some cleaning up because you know how you get those little patterns and they just pile up in a box?
Yep.
I finally took them and put them in 3-ring binders in slip sleeve things.
Oh.
And I organized them.
Oh, look at you.
So that was a big deal. And like all of my quilting rulers, all of the instruction thingies, you need to save them, you know?
Right.
So I put them all in those little pages that you slide them in, you know,
mm-hmm.
and some different cross stitch stuff. And yeah, so I did and it's cleaned up a section of my closet.
Cause see, I have those stacks of charts.
Mm-hmm.
So you just bought one of those fat 3-ring binders and then some sleeves.
I had already had some.
Okay.
So I had these, I don't remember why I bought them years ago. And I already had them in the closet doing nothing. And I'm like, well, oh, and like my Tamari stuff, that's the next stuff that I need to put and make a binder for Tamari and put all my instructions in the sleeveys for all my different Tamari balls.
Yeah.
And then you label it and you put you write the little label and slide it in the outside little plastic bit. And then you have them all stacked up.
Because see, I have two like plastic filing boxes like you would get for tax returns and other important papers.
Right.
And I have a bunch of charts in those.
Mm-hmm.
But to look at them, You know, you basically got to haul them all out of the box and then leaf through them. But if they're in a three-ring binder labeled, then you don't have to do anything. You just open it up and leaf through them. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some stuff. I have like crochet books and stuff in those little files, like what you're talking about, and some other crochet leaflets and all that. So those are all taken up. And that's working well, because I'm not buying any more of that kind of crochet stuff. So it all fits in there. It's been like that for 25 years. And I don't think I'm going to move it, because I know where everything is. I know exactly where to find stuff. If I reorganize it, I won't know where it is.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. That's just crazy, yeah.
Do you have that where you reorganize and then you're like, I remember where it was before, and now I have no clue?
Yep, every time, yep.
I know.
Yeah. And like my work desk has one pile and it's not very high. But I'm one of those people that if you look at my work desk, I have to be careful or I'll get, you know, so there's just enough space for the keyboard. But I know where everything is at.
Mm-hmm.
And don't move it.
Right.
Because, you know, if ask me, where is this? I know it's about a third of the way down in this pile right here. Just give me a second. Yeah.
Like you have that picture in your head.
Right.
Where you can see it. I see it right there.
Yep.
You're like, but darn it, I reorganized. Now I have no clue where it is.
Exactly. Yeah. Then you can't find it at all. You can't. Right. You simply can't find it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to try to remember to look at it and take a snapshot with your brain.
Yep.
It's there. Snap. Yeah. You know?
Yep. Yeah. And we're such opposites because Marga, her desk is pristine at all times, except when she's working, she has out what she's working on. But otherwise, everything is put away. I can't function like that. I just can't. Yeah. Yeah, when we were in Illinois, we shared a room. We had one room, which was an office, and we split it.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up with my desk. You couldn't see it from the hallway when you walked by. And I think I was manipulated into that so that no one could see my mess.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So anytime you walked by, you saw Marga's nice, clean desktop, but no, you couldn't see me. No. But
yeah,
that's just the way I am, and so I have to stay after it all the time.
Yeah, but some stuff you need out because you need to keep using it.
Right.
And then once it's finally, because I did accounts receivable way back in the day at this one company, and if there was something that was like kind of like a problem invoice or something, you always kept it and you knew where it was because you had to keep referring back until the whole issue got solved, then it could be filed.
Yeah.
But and then my boss would come in, where's this and this? And I'd be like, duh, 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 right here, boom, you know?
Yep.
I always knew exactly where it was.
Yep. Yeah.
It's like, don't anybody touch my desk.
Yeah, exactly. Just leave everything alone. Don't you
it
come in
It wasn't messy,
here.
But it was like, I knew exactly where it was and which pile. And I could tell if anybody touched my stuff. I'd be like, mm-hmm. Who's in here touching my stuff?
Because now you're messing up my system. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's probably, when it comes to desks and tabletops, there's probably two people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One like Marga and one like us, where stuff is everywhere. Yeah.
Yep.
But then, that's only in my workspace for me. Everywhere else, things get put away. But
the rest of the house, especially like in the kitchen, the junk drawer, you put it back and you put it back where you got it from.
Yep.
You don't put it in the next slot over. No, you put it, and training my husband to put things back where he found them. It's like, no, the peanut butter doesn't go on that shelf. It goes on the shelf. If you'd quit moving stuff around, you wouldn't not be able to find it next time you went to the cupboard. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, it lives here.
Yeah.
This is its home.
Yep. But yeah, that's the only, for me, that's the only in where I'm doing needlework or magazine work. Yeah, that. To the untrained eye, it's a mess, but it's not. Nope.
I know.
It's quite highly organized, yeah.
Yeah.
But then I have also learned through the years that when it comes to the point where you need to dust and clean, it's really a bad scene.
Yeah. See, that's one reason I like having my house cleaners that come every 2 weeks is because it forces me to clean up. Uh-huh. And clean up my piles. And especially this time of year when I'm not feeling good all the time, where I would like, I wouldn't clean my house for 3 or 4 months because I just wouldn't feel good. And then every time it just became too big of a thing. Right.
Right.
So then it's like, get some cleaners, have them come in every 2 weeks. You have to tidy so they can clean. And that helps me keep the chaos down.
I see.
Uh-huh. It helps a ton. And then especially when I'm not feeling good, my house at least gets clean. Otherwise it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
And it would just get worse. And then it'd cause depression. It'd be a whole nasty spiral.
Just a spiral down. Oh.
Yeah. So I have house cleaners to help. It helps me so much.
So that's what I need to do, is hire a house cleaner, and then I'll be tidier. Okay.
Yeah.
Probably totally. Not going
to
happen.
Because you have to have all the surfaces tidy and everything put away so that they can clean.
Nah, skip that. Not happening.
Mm-mm. Oh, no. I think it's awesome.
Okay. So I want to learn about your new stitching chair.
Ooh, yes. I have my new Lazy Boy stitching chair.
Oh, that's a Lazy Boy?
Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
The Lazy Boy. And it's sized for, you know, you can, whenever you search for chairs, you can search for like the size of the person. And I'm a small person. So this one's for like people from 5'4 to 5'9. And I'm like 5'3. So it's a smaller one, which means when I sit down with my back against the chair, my feet will actually just almost touch the ground.
Ah, excellent.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it won't make your back arch and hurt.
Yeah.
And it's a rocker one, which I like. And the best part is that the actual seat and the leg part that flips up is made with the Tempur-Pedic seat.
Oh.
So that, you know how normally you get a chair and it's firm for a while and then you start to squash in and your posture's just all ruined?
Right.
This won't do that.
Hmm.
This one, it's the memory foam Tempur-Pedic or whatever seat, and so you sit on the chair and you don't sink into the chair, which is perfect for stitching to help you maintain posture and not get like the big hump on your neck and all sorts of other problems. Because what was happening was my other chair, I had that chair and a half, and I always ended up sliding over to the side. So I was sitting on like a third of the chair, and the other 2/3 of the chair was kind of empty. And it started, you know, you start sinking it in, and then the back too starts sinking, and you'd flip the cushion and squish it and you'd do the back. But then within 2 days, it's already, you know, it's like that.
Right.
And it was making, you know, you're sitting in your chair uneven, and it was making my one hip and back hurt like crazy, like dying. So we were in Jamaica for a week, and, you know, you're sitting straight in chairs and everything was good and I was fine. And then we come home and I sit in that chair for 2 hours and it's like, I'm broken. When I stand up, I can barely walk, you know? I was like, that's it. I'm done with this chair. I told my husband, I said, I'm getting a new chair. He's like, go ahead. So I was like, cool. I'm going to, and he looked up. So he looks online for me. He's like, oh, look, Lazy Boy's having a sale. I'm like, okay, I'm going.
They're always having a sale.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I went and got it on sale, and it's not power. It's like you lift the legs up, you know, with the arm thingy. But it has 3 different settings, low, medium, and high. And you can lean back.
Mm-hmm.
And it rocks. And I got one, too, that has, like, the smaller arms so that I can take my light with my magnifier light and I can squish it up against there and use it in that chair.
Excellent.
Where in the other chair, I couldn't because the arms were too big and it wouldn't reach.
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah, I bought this chair specifically for stitching.
Mm-hmm.
And I told the lady at the place when we were talking about it, I'm like, this is what I do. I sit in the chair for hours. You know, this is what needs to happen.
But see, that's, you know, that's really illustrative of how important ergonomics are when it comes to stitching. Because your old one there, I mean, if you're hurting your hips so much that you can barely stand up and walk afterwards.
Yeah.
Imagine what you're doing to other parts of your body too.
Right. It messes up your neck, your shoulders, everything gets out of alignment.
Yeah.
You knock the whole structure, you know, your body is a constructed structure.
Yeah. And see, so then you get a chair that makes your body behave and stay where it's supposed to stay. And then, you stand up and you're kind of normal. Yeah.
Yeah, I can actually get up from my chair and walk without limping and without going, oh my God, broken. you know?
Yes. Yeah. But it's so important. I think people don't realize that. And like for me, I use, I have an office chair that I stitch in that's fully mm-hmm. adjustable. And even the arms, I think so important is you can raise and lower both arms independently and in and out. And so when I'm stitching at my frame, I have one arm higher than the other. So the arm, my right arm is lower because that's the hand that's underneath.
Right.
And the left hand is the one on top. And so both arms are supported, and it makes it quite comfortable. I mean, you know, the difference isn't that mm-hmm. much. It's like maybe half an inch. But, you know, they're both supported, and then I have a footrest that I put on that is underneath so that my feet are up off the ground. And I can sit for a long time and not be uncomfortable. And
yeah, because if your feet are dangling, especially if you're short and your feet are dangling, it will throw your lower back into an arch.
Oh, that's the worst.
That will, over time, will really hurt you.
Yep.
And it's not good for you. So I have little footstools all over the place that I have to use at my other chairs because my feet don't touch the ground because
mm-hmm.
I'm little, you know? Yep. So,
but I don't think people realize that because something needs to be under your feet. And if you're just letting them hang, it just pulls on your everything.
Yeah. So, and then I got a table that goes next to my chair. They have Lazy Boy has like special tables that are for the side of the chair that are longer and skinnier. So they're not these huge honking tables.
Uh huh.
And so it's kind of a long, skinny table, and it has a drawer, and that's where I can put my chart and, you know, my little thing of thread and stuff. And yeah, I'm loving it.
So you got yourself completely set up then?
Yes, it's fantastic.
And you noticed the difference right away. Well, I'm sure you did. If your hip was that bad after a session.
My gosh, so bad. I mean, like now I'm sitting in my other room, in my sewing room, in my bigger automated recliner chair. And it's not Lazy Boy. It's some other brand. But it's bigger and cushier and has the bigger arms. And it's good and nice. But I didn't want to use it for the other room because it's too big.
Yeah.
You know? It's good for in here. I don't need to replace it anytime soon. I can sit in it and be comfortable. It doesn't hurt me. So for the whole 6 weeks I had to wait for my chair to come in, I didn't sit on that other chair at all. Like, I was in this room all the time. If my husband, we didn't even watch TV together or anything because I couldn't even just sit in that chair in the middle of it and just sit there and watch a program for an hour because it was so badly sloped.
Yeah.
And I'd rotate the cushions and squish them and, you know, all the things, but
at some point it doesn't matter what you do. Yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't even that old of a chair. I mean, it still looked brand new. We took it to Salvation Army and the guy was like, oh my gosh, this is nice. We're like, yeah.
Yeah. Take it. It
wasn't working for us anymore, but here you go. Somebody else can enjoy it, you know?
Yep. Yeah, no, it's, I wonder how many people have shoulder and arm and neck problems just because of bad stitching ergonomics. I bet it's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad posture and
yep.
having your arms too high or having your arms too low.
Yep. Yeah. Oh yeah. That was the other thing with my, scroll frame stand. The other day I had a long session. It was last Sunday. I got a chance to stitch for 3+ hours straight. Ooh. And after a little while, I thought, man, I am really uncomfortable. I am so hunched over. I'm really uncomfortable. And I stood up and I moved to the side of my frame. And it had, over time, it had worked its way down. And so then it was, well, wait a minute. Let me put this back. And it was an inch or more that it had rotated down.
Oh,
Big deal. And yeah. I put it back where it belonged. And then I'm sitting up straight, properly supported, lights where it's supposed to be, arms are where they're supposed to be. And it's like, thank you very much. But you know, that's the other thing is making sure that your stand and your lights stay where they're supposed to stay.
Right.
They'll migrate on you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What I always do is I sit down and I get my posture proper first, then I collect my stuff around me. And I think it might, I was in ballet for like a lot, most of my life. I've been in ballet and still do it on my own at home. And you set your posture first, then you do the things. So I think I'm just used to doing that. It's second nature for me where I sit down, I get my posture ready, then I grab my light and stuff and adjust it to how I'm sitting instead of just sitting down and going for it. I mean, because it does all move.
This is, over time it had creeped that much.
Because the weight, and
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, exactly. And you lean on your stuff and yep. So that's another thing I got to watch. Yeah, you talk about posture. The other day on Mark and I watch Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy every day. But on Wheel of Fortune, one of the contestants was a Rockette and active. You talk about rock solid posture. Holy smokes. Yeah, she made me feel so just useless. But she just stood there, shoulders back, rock straight. Yeah, I'm sure. Yep.
Because that's just muscle memory right there for her. That's normal,
Right, yeah.
Shoulders back, and I
Yep.
always notice if I'm slumping, I'm like up, back, set your shoulders,
Yeah. Oh,
because
that's.
I don't want the hump. You want to keep the muscles back there strong, so
Yeah,
that
I
you
have
don't
to.
just slouch forward and.
Yeah, my posture is terrible, and I keep having to remind myself. And now, as we're talking, I find myself adjusting.
Yeah. You're
Sit
like,
up
oh, how am
straight.
I sitting?
Yep. But it's easy to do. It really is. Yeah. You're tired.
Yeah.
You just, yeah. You're sloppy. Yep.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's good to know about your chair. I didn't know all that adjustment was available from Lazy Boy. I thought you just kind of, that's great.
I think, I haven't. My mom has Lazy Boys, but they're like 20 years old
Right.
because she got those when Todd and Esty were little. And they're like 20, 22 now. So I'm
Yeah.
like, those chairs are old. I'm like, you need to go Lazy Boy and get new chairs. And you can, because their chairs are not comfortable anymore. They are bad. And I was like, you can get them with the memory foam, Tempur-Pedic, whatever seat. And so every time you sit down, you're kind of mold to it. And then it goes back, after you get up. So it's
Yeah.
like sitting on a fresh cushion and it won't warp down.
I got to look into that because I mean, I have a Lazy Boy that I sit in when we watch TV, and I don't even know how old it is because they never wear out.
Well, they do. I mean, I don't know.
I've never worn one out.
My parents let the kids, when they were young, use them as trampolines. And I was like,
Well,
you
that
didn't let
now.
us jump on stuff when we were kids, so how is it that these kids are getting away with it? I'm just not understanding the logic here, but they did. So, those things are in bad shape
No.
and they need new ones. And my dad's like, oh, it's fine. Meanwhile, his back, his neck, his knees, everything is broken.
Yeah.
My chair's fine. We're like,
No, it's not.
no, I don't think so.
No, it's not. Yeah.
He tells
No.
my mom, yours is practically new. Like 20 years old,
Yeah.
22.
Yeah, that's the, yeah, those chairs, you don't realize how old they get. Yeah,
They
time
do,
flies, yeah.
especially when they get used as much as theirs do.
Yeah.
And the trampoline action.
Yeah, well, letting kids, yeah, that's
So,
kind of, yeah, that's different. Yep.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't
Well,
know
have
how
you
they
know
let
right
those
now, I
kids
am
do
sitting up
that.
straight.
Very good.
Shoulders back. Yep.
Very good. Yep, I'm stitching. And I have my elbows at my sides,
Yep.
and my shoulders are back, and my head isn't tilted too far down. I have my,
Yep, same here. Okay, we talked ourselves into it.
Yep.
Okay, I think we're going to call it right there. We've
All
improved our
right.
posture.
Yes. Everybody, improve your posture.
That's right. All right, we're going to call it right there. So thanks to everybody for listening. And no Stitch Hour tonight, but we will next week. Wendy Lynn
Right.
is the Sunday guest. Fiber Talk 5 gets you the free virtual lecture at EGA. And Fiber Talk 10 gets you 10% off Queenstown sampling design charts and kits at Sassy Jack Stitchery. So take advantage of that. Both those through the end of the month. That's all we got for you. Thanks for listening.
All right, bye.